Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How are you doing today?
Hey, Ryan.
We are. I'm very excited today. This is a challenging article you've written for many people who have a certain evolution in their walk of faith. I think so, a little bit of a deeper understanding would probably help those people.
Something that you're not going to beat me up today, then?
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay.
No, I just want better understanding of your choice of words. Well, why don't I just jump right in? It's with your title that you actually wanted to put on the article, How to Get Beyond the Banal Faith of Christianity that expresses itself with the term Christ Died for Me, over to the empowering dynamic faith expressed by the term Christ Lives in Me. So what do you mean by banal faith of Christianity? It's not a common term. Banal. What do you mean?
Well, let's see. It's a dictionary term. It's devoid of freshness.
Wow.
Or originality. Hackneyed. Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty strong statement that you're making then.
Yeah, you want to make some of it?
Gosh, no. But I have to say that when I was attending church, I had a pretty dynamic faith. I sincerely believed that Christ lived in me, and the church I went to didn't have any crosses or crucifixes. Oh, wait a second. I take that back. It did have a cross in the church, which also served as a gymnasium. So,
well, that's all right. I'll tell you where I made the departure is only from, quote, the cross, is just going back to, if you're associated with one of these churches that insists that the Old Testament is part of the Christian Bible and therefore every word in it is true, so I start taking it on related to Exodus. I don't even remember where the Ten Commandments are in Exodus, but it's, I think, the fourth verse of the Ten Commandments is, don't make any image of anything on in the physical or in the spiritual. It's an idol. Don't do it. It's one of the commandments. And so I just said, look at that. So I started joking, and I'm the first one that I knew at the time that what we ought to do is either hang a gas chamber around our neck or you know, a little, instead of a cross, have a gas chamber or a replica of an electric chair. And that went over like a lead balloon.
Yeah, I can imagine that impressed a lot of people. They were probably excited to get behind that movement.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, I've been to many churches. As a matter of fact, some of them managed to evoke a deep emotional response to me. So, for example, Westminster Cathedral, or Westminster Abbey in England, it's a deeply moving place, and it's an Anglican church. They've got icons and symbols all over the place. The chapel in one of those castles that Queen Elizabeth lives in, I don't remember exactly which one, it's St. George's Chapel. Some of the work in there, the artisan, it's moving. It moves me emotionally and drew me quite, at least in the moment, I felt quite close to Christ. So this banal faith has got some beauty to it. It's got some inspiration to it. And they are focused, all these artisans' images and paintings and sculptures and tile work and beautiful mosaics and tapestries are focused on the Christ Died for Me image that you are referring to here. I find it quite inspiring in those instances.
And I think it can be.
Okay, so what do we need to separate out?
We need to separate that out. There's nothing wrong with being turned on by music, turned on by art. I mean, those expressions in the spirit, I mean, they're fine, they're okay. But if that's where your faith is, period, you know, that you have that to get you focused, rather than being directly connected. What are we about? And on his website, is just telling people that there's a way to get connected directly. A woman I happened to talk to over the weekend with Eve now is emailing me that she's talking to Dad about everything. You know, wow. And that's the point. You know, don't come to me. What am I? I'm an old guy that writes crazy articles to try and get people stirred up. But when you have a person who's not hung up on church and all of a sudden they realize that the creator of the universe has a part of it, him or her, that is a perfect spirit parent, which is what Jesus introduced, then why not go to him? And he tells us how. That's my point.
Right.
And if you're singing songs, that's okay. And if you're, you know, looking at artwork and getting all goosebumpy about it, that's okay. It really is. I'm not knocking it. The only thing I'm saying is that's still not where you're going to get the real impetus, Christ living in you.
Okay.
And knowing that's the... So, I'm babbling on. Go ahead.
The difference that you're speaking of is Christ died for me and Christ lives in me. You're suggesting in your article that there's some conflict there. The way you've worded it, I picture that if I focused on Christ died for me rather than Christ lives in me, that I'm not going to move unto salvation. The scripture you quote here is by Paul, with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, my union's not complete until I shift my focus from Christ died for me to Christ lives in me. At least that's what I'm getting from what I read. Is that correct? Or?
Yeah, I think that's what I wanted to say. What triggered it in me, I was making a cross-country trip actually several years ago, and it was a whole bunch of a motorcycle gang, so to speak, and they had Christ died to save sinners all over their bikes. And I wanted to engage them in conversation out in the middle of Nebraska or something. And I was amazed. You know, they were very, they were hung up on the fact that they were sinners, but Jesus died for them. And you know, that's wonderful. That's where we all start. I mean, so, you know, that's paid for. And that's where, you know, if you read some of the things in Scripture, certainly Christ died to save sinners. It's scripturally correct. But that's not where you're going to find healing power and spiritual healing and finding the source to do the things that Jesus said we'd do if we had the kind of faith he used, which he referred to as God faith.
Okay, so what you're talking about is moving to the next step. Is that right? Because I got to tell you, the concept of Christ dying for me, it made a huge difference in my life.
Mine too.
It released me from self-condemnation. It released me from anger or the desire to punish myself or consider myself a failure because of the people that I hurt, but based on the decisions I made and so on and so forth. And the fact that Christ died for me released me from a lot of that, and it was very liberating. But I think what you're talking about is moving on to the next step. Is that right? So that this is, if I'm walking
right
up the steps, I'm ascending towards my Creator, then the next step up from Christ died for me is Christ lives in me.
Exactly. That's it.
Okay, so,
simple enough.
So which brings me to the end of your article, and you say, why stop short? Well, what does stopping short mean? And in the metaphor or the image that we've created of walking up the steps towards our Creator, the Source, we're stopping short because we're not moving from Christ died for me to Christ lives in me. How do I know if I've stopped short? If I'm one of those persons that you're referring to, how do I know if you're talking to me in this message?
Do you have an answer to that? Are you thinking?
Well, I've kind of unified these two phrases, Christ died for me and Christ lives in me. I don't have an experience of stopping short. I have an experience of wanting to move forward and hungering for more and more and more and what's the next step. So if there's somebody out there who feels that hunger, how are they going to know if they've been stopped short? I don't know. You tell me. How do I tell if I'm someone who's stopped short? What would be a sign to me?
Go look for a sign. Ask Dad. Go direct.
So if I haven't gone direct, then that, I guess, is a way of saying that I've stopped short.
Wow, yeah, sure. Why not?
Right? So if you're not connecting directly, then you've stopped short. Would you agree with that?
I would indeed. I think that's great.
For me, there were a couple of steps to going directly. I didn't just go from having a great time singing my hymns in the church and reading my Bible to going direct. There were a few steps in between. One,
I was removed
from the city that I was living in, so I didn't have a church to go to on a regular basis. I had no choice. I didn't find a new church to attend for quite some time. I was disconnected from a lot of my spiritual friendships that I had established. That's another step that distanced me from the focus of Christ died on me to Christ lives in me. I mean, it wasn't just one day I woke up and, whoa, yeah, he's alive in me. It was a journey.
No, nor I. In fact, it was a long progression. One of the things I'll share my experience was I was given some words, and I say given because I was walking on the beach and kind of telling Dad I wanted more, and how do I get more? And these words came to me: I am in and of the will of God. Your presence and your power are upon me. I want and have nothing else, and no other thought or feeling shall have a permanent place in me. I am. I said, whoa, what? And I started speaking those words every day and realizing that's the kind of things that Jesus spoke and said we were to speak. And that was what started me on the track of going crazy, so to speak, and doing the things I do today, which is bait people like you.
Rookies, is that what you call it? Rubes, no, suckers.
Not at all.
How about I suggest this then? If one of our listeners is concerned or has a hint that maybe they have stopped short, maybe they can send you an email directly and get your assistance to moving to the next step if they feel stuck.
Well, yeah, if they want to. I think the shortcut is just to go and start knocking on a door on a table or getting on the floor and knocking on, banging on the floor and say, I want more. I want to sense your presence.
Like we did in the 21-day challenge.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, well, thanks, Brad. That clears things up a lot for me. I don't feel that I wasted a lot of time with a banal faith. I actually profited from it.
Yeah, and I have to admit I did too. Therefore, and it's something that I continually wrestle with because so much email I get that's of a critical nature says that I'm all wet, you know. I know I'm not all wet only on one basis. There are so many more who have a breakthrough just by banging and knocking and demanding and saying, I want more of you, Dad, and doing it until they get more. People will call it witchcraft. They call it all kinds of things. I don't care what they call it. It's Jesus promised that was available to us, and you go ahead and do it, and you'll prove it.
And you're collecting on the promise.
There you go.
You're calling them out.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're who you said you were, let's get it on. I want to have everything there is. And all of a sudden, I came up with concepts like extreme faith, you know, which is knowing, you know, that death does not have to rule over us. It's over. It's gone. And all of a sudden, so many things that seemed to be a mystery are no longer a mystery. So.
Well, thank you, Brad. I appreciate your clarifying this article for us. You've been a great help. I look forward to the next one.
Hey, you know, our last podcast, I think I told you, you're getting weak. You used to rip me up one side down the other. Now you're sitting here just letting it all... I mean, don't some of our listeners want controversy? we gotta print some of those emails, huh?
Your article, I think, is controversial enough. I don't think I need to spice it up whatsoever.
Okay, well, I hope it's a blessing to those who have ears to hear it.
I hope so, too. Thanks, Brad.
Hey, love you. Thanks for the call.
Love you, too, bye.